We are the 1, 2, 3
Sore Losers!
What up, everybody? I am Lunchbox. I know the most about sports, so I give you the sports facts, my sports opinions, because I am pretty much a sports genius.
What's up, guys? I'm Eddie. I know the least about sports.
Go ahead. Do it.
Hey, guys, it's Eddie. I know the least about sports. I just like watching the games. I really don't know that much, but I'm getting better.
Nice. Ray, what about you?
Now do me, dude.
Hey, what's up? I'm Ray. Yo, bros. I'm a gambler. You know, I like to bet money and stuff. And sometimes I win, sometimes I don't. But most of the time, I'm going to supply you with the lock of the day. So lock it up.
That's pretty good. Thanks, dude.
That's not bad.
Thank you.
That's not bad. Man, we like to start the podcast with a game. You guys ready to play?
Would you rather?
Would you rather eat a pack of Starburst or a pack of Skittles?
Easy, Starburst and the pink ones. If it's not red or pink, I don't want it. The red ones and the oranges, you can keep them. Not the red ones, the orange and the yellow ones, keep them. Pink and red, that's the way to go.
And I believe it's the Fruit Loops. They said that those all taste the exact same.
Correct.
Science has proven that regardless of the color, they taste the same. But with Starburst and with Skittles, they do taste different, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so with the Skittles, I always think that you don't get really a bad flavor. For the most part, they're all really good. And maybe it's because the Starburst are bigger, but when you get a yellow Starburst, that is horrible.
Yeah.
I can easily do a yellow Skittle, even though I don't love yellow. But a yellow Starburst, I can't tell you the amount of candy I wasted as a kid.
You're thinking about the candy right now.
Oh,
you're
dude,
salivated.
I always just threw them away all the time. Yellow, and sometimes I'd even venture out into the orange and throw those away too.
I don't get Starburst at all. I don't understand why people like them. They're not good. They're a little bit hard, and you got to chew them forever. It's annoying. Like, a Skittle is so much better and so much easier to eat. And it tastes better. And the variety of Skittles that you can get the tropical, the blue, light blue pack, the purple pack. Skittles wins hands
down. There's a sour pack now, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Do you guys separate your Skittles, though? Do you eat like, let me just have a bunch of yellows first, or let me just have a bunch of red ones first, or do you just get them all in your hand and then throw them in your mouth?
No, I just pour them in my hand. I don't have time to search through them. I'm not that picky. Like, I'm not a OCD person that only can eat green, can only eat red.
I didn't know if you liked the certain flavor of the Skittle, though.
No, I like the rainbow. Like, you put
you
it
like
in your
the
mouth.
Skittles,
yeah,
rainbow.
Exactly. You put it in your mouth, and it's like, whoo, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a pretty tamed would you rather.
No, but I do love a would you rather from something I did 15 years ago. I haven't had a Skittle in my adult life.
Really?
I don't think so. Dude, when are you at a Walgreens or a CVS and you go, man, I need a bag of Skittles?
No, you're kind of right. But
that's true.
The only time you would have them is Halloween. Skittles, okay. And Starburst. Do you ever go to the CVS or the Walgreens? Man, you know what? I'm thinking I'm going to grab me a thing of Starburst for the road. No, when you're on a road trip, you're getting a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup or a Kit Kat. No one ever says.
Chocolate on the road trip is pretty risky, though. I mean, because you're driving and you drop a peanut butter cup and you're like, oh, I got chocolate all over my pants and the seat. It's risky.
No, who drops a peanut butter cup? They're really easy to handle. It's not like there's a lot of them where you're going
to
be transferring.
You have to take the wrapper off of the cup. That's hard. With one hand, if you're driving, like you got to, the cup has the wrapper. See, most people don't realize you open the big wrapper and then the bottom of the cup, you got the plastic part that you got to take off of. That's tricky.
Mm-hmm.
No, not tricky at all, but that's what I'm saying. Like, you don't ever grab Starburst. Starburst would be even harder to take on a road trip.
My go-to road trip candy is Sweet Tarts.
What?
The roll of Sweet Tarts.
Who buys? Those are another Halloween candy only. That's the only thing you get on Halloween. You're like, okay, great, Sweet Tarts. No one actually buys Sweet Tarts.
Well, you're looking at one right now. I buy Sweet Tarts. I buy the roll. And then when I'm driving, I tear the top off, put one in my mouth, go down the road, travel about 10 miles, pop another one in my mouth. I do that the whole way.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You're talking about the little clear plastic tubes.
No. The foil, the long foil tubes.
Are you talking about sprees?
Sweet Tarts. Sweet and tart.
Huh.
You've never seen these before? It's like a roll of 20 little pellets.
I don't know how you can eat candy, though, on a road trip. The reason I never eat this candy is because doesn't it ruin your next meal?
No, not really.
Dude, when I'm on a road trip, the next thing I'm thinking is, okay, stopping for lunch, cannot wait to go ahead and get those cheeseburgers. I'm going to get like three of them. But the candy's going to totally sour your next what do you eat next?
When you're road tripping, you don't have a lot of food options, right? You got McDonald's, the go-to, sometimes the Taco Bell, a lot of Subways. What's your go-to road trip?
Chick-fil-A. It's easy.
Arby's.
But Chick-fil-A's...
Chick-fil-A is easy.
Coach, sometimes Chick-fil-A is like every 100 miles.
It's not even in a lot of states,
Chick-fil-A.
Coach. What are you going... on a road trip, do you stop in at an airport?
I hate to tell you, Chick-fil-A is in every city
What
nowadays.
If it's Sunday? No, it's not. McDonald's is in every city and every town now.
What did you say? What if you're traveling on Sunday?
What if you're on Sunday,
you just
dude?
Don't eat, dude?
No, Sunday.
Hello, I'm waiting here in the drive-thru.
Dude, if you're traveling and road tripping on a Sunday, you're screwed.
No, you really are. You just have to pick something that's around. You don't have a go-to on Sunday, then that's the problem. But whenever I'm road tripping... if it's not Sunday, it's Chick-fil-A. That's where I stop.
So you got to look for the Chick-fil-A sign.
Chick-fil-A.
That's very scarce.
No, it's not really.
It is.
Major cities, every major city has a Chick-fil-A.
Okay, but you're not traveling. I'm talking about like when you got to stop in Paducah. Like,
but I plan my stops out. Like if I can go 2 hours in between a big city and a small city, I can make it to the big city. I know leaving Nashville, I can get to Louisville or I can get to Memphis.
I got you. That'll change when your kid gets older. But I get it. I get it. Because when your kids get older, I mean, literally, you pack the car and you're like, all right, everybody good? You go to the restroom? Yep, we're good. We go 30 minutes down the road. Man, I'm hungry.
Oh, that's a buzzkill.
You don't
you're
bring
like,
snacks
sorry.
In the car?
We do. And then it's like, here's the Cheez-Its.
Well, that's not really a good
15
snack.
15 minutes later, I'm hungry.
Dude, my chick, we went to Chicago 7 hours. I didn't stop once.
That's
my,
what I'm saying.
My chick was like, I seriously have to go to the bathroom. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's been 7 hours. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Like, I drove from Nashville to Austin, and I stopped one time. On the other side of Little Rock, got gas, stopped at the Chick-fil-A, let the dogs go to the bathroom, back in the car, let's go. Straight to Austin. That's the only stop.
I have a 10-year-old, and I haven't experienced what you guys are talking about in 10 years.
Oh, dude, it's an amazing feeling.
I remember that feeling of freedom and get to stop whenever I want to stop.
But when he has to go to the bathroom only, don't you just pull over on the side of the road?
I've done it before.
Okay.
Yeah, but sometimes my wife has to go. Like
side of the road.
Oh, yeah, back in the day, parents never
went
for
never
gas stations.
Yeah, we never went to gas station. We
oh, dude, my dad would just
road.
Pull over onto like a two-track. Yeah. I'm like, go in the bathroom on some place I don't even know where I'm at in the weeds. I'm like, Dad, can't we just find a bathroom?
Well, back in the day, you can drink and drive. Like,
you could?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it was legal, but...
I mean, back in the day, you can drive without a seatbelt.
Oh.
Well, you still can.
you can do whatever you want.
We were on a school trip, and the school bus pulled off at the side of the road, and the kids went to the bathroom on the side of the road. We didn't even find a gas station or a rest area.
Oh, we were driving to Chicago.
All right, come on.
Where do the girls go?
Left side, boys right on the right side.
Hey, boys, don't look to the right. The girls are over there. What?
I just saw Jimmy's lizard.
Whoa, boy.
Like, we were driving to Chicago one time when we were kids, and the Mississippi had flooded, and so in St. Louis, we had just crossed over the bridge there was a flood, and there was a dog running on the side of the road. Like, we tried to pull over and get it, and we were like, oh, might as well go to the bathroom. And we went to the bathroom on the side of the road that night. In the hotel room, we had ticks on us.
Oh.
Yeah.
In your area? Like the bad area?
My brother had one in his area.
Ooh.
Yeah. Luckily, I didn't have to go get it. My parents had to get it.
That's always weird to me. I found a tick on me the other day, and I'm like, how did it get there? Like, it's not like I laid in the grass.
But, Coach, you stood on the grass. You live in a wooded area. You have a campground 2 blocks from where you live. Eddie went camping that one time, and I went and met him, and I go, dude, where is your house at? And it was like 2 blocks away.
I was like...
Dude, where Eddie was camping at, you could see another guy's porch.
Well, the lake is kind of in neighborhooded areas, so if you want to go camping, you can. It's really not rough in it because there's a convenience store like really 2 blocks away.
Dude, and we're sitting there and it's dark out and you could see somebody's light from their house. We thought it was the moon or something like that.
Like if you're out looking for firewood and you take 10 steps more than you should, you're in someone's backyard.
Hey, Dad, I love the great outdoors. Not so far, son. Get back here. That's somebody's backyard.
Speaking of backyard, Texans. They didn't let Miami come in their backyard and beat them.
Dude, Willie isn't going to have a good game. That was a guarantee. The way that Eddie said they get 7.5, that was the dumbest bet ever.
Well, I mean, it looked it all the way up to the third quarter, and then the Texans just took off. I mean, I felt like it was, especially at the half, you know, it was a pretty good game back and forth. I felt like the Dolphins, their offense was a lot more powerful than I thought they would be. I didn't think Osweiler would have a passing game the way he did with Devontae Parker. I mean, they looked okay.
But Osweiler's not good.
Both defenses sucked is what I saw. Both defenses were terrible, and the Texans just outscored the Dolphins, really.
By a lot. They beat them by like 20. That's an amazing lock for the opposite way. We hit that lock on the opposite side of it.
Second half, man, it was just most drives didn't go more than two plays. It's just bomb, touchdown,
love
Drake.
It. That's what we want. When we sit home at night after a late day of work, I don't want to see defenses battle it out.
I thought, man, what is wrong with the Houston Texans in the beginning of the year is I think Deshaun Watson wasn't 100% healthy. I think coming back from the ACL, A, it's a mental thing to get over, and I don't know if he was there all physically. And now I think you're seeing it after, you know, 7-8 weeks of the season, he's starting to look good.
Because when he played against the Titans, he wasn't doing his runs. He was almost one-dimensional. Usually he's a running quarterback.
And he was, and the offensive line has improved a little bit. I don't think he got sacked one time last night, which is the problem in the beginning of the year. He was getting sacked all the time, and I think a little bit of that was his mobility was limited, so he couldn't escape the rush. Last night they would get to him, but he'd get outside the pocket, run around, hit take the wide receiver.
Yeah.
And their running game, Lamar Miller's been terrible, but the last 2 weeks, he's got 100 yards each week, over 100 yards both weeks.
Yeah.
They're starting to run the ball. Now they lost Will Fuller. They think he tore his ACL.
Wow.
Is it Will Fuller the fourth?
Yeah, the fourth.
Yeah, the fourth. Poor dude. He gets hurt every year.
1V.
He gets hurt every year. And if you guys watched last night, I hope you were watching, because you got to watch the best wide receiver in the National Football League.
Hopkins?
DeAndre Hopkins is the best wide receiver.
Yeah, there was an article that said he has the best hands in the NFL, hands down.
He does not drop a pass. Like, if it's near him, he catches it. Last night, there was one that they called offensive pass interference, whatever. He went up one-handed and caught it against his left hamstring. Unbelievable. Dude is so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's because Watson ain't hitting his guys perfectly or what?
Well, no. It was a good throw. Okay. I mean, because the defender's right on him. So he just went up, one hand, tipped it, went down, and pinned it against his left hamstring. And then they called it back because of offensive pass interference. But even the announcer's like, I don't know if I'd call that. They were both hand fighting. And it was just his hands. And I've said this. He's had terrible quarterbacks. He's played with 9 different quarterbacks, I think they said.
Wow.
9. And he puts up those types of numbers. He doesn't have the same chemistry that all the Andy Dalton to A.J. Green, Matt Ryan to Julio Jones, the same quarterback, same system over and over. He's adjusting to new quarterbacks every year, and that is why I think he's the best wide receiver in football, and I love watching him play. And well, he's happy. Like, halfway through the third quarter, he had maybe 2-3 catches, 8-10 yards, and he's not mad. He's not out there pouting and yelling at his quarterback. He's celebrating when Will Fuller scores a big touchdown. He's running down, high-fiving. That's the kind of guy I want on my team.
Julio Jones does that too.
Yes.
He talks about how he doesn't care how many touchdowns he has or what his stats are as long as the team wins, right?
Right, and I texted my buddy last night. I was like, DeAndre Hopkins, best wide receiver in football. And he was like, and he said, oh, I think Antonio Brown's close. I said, he's in the conversation. I said, who? And he goes, don't even say Julio Jones. He doesn't score touchdowns. And I'm going to say, for him to say that, he must be a bitter fantasy player.
For
he must
sure.
have Julio Jones on his team. Because Julio Jones not scoring touchdowns, it's not necessarily his fault. It's the play calling maybe in the red zone or how the defense is scheming. If the Falcons are scoring touchdowns and he gets them down there, it doesn't make him a bad wide receiver.
Unless you're a quarterback, if you're not getting touchdowns, I mean, that's just the play calling and stuff
right.
like that. I mean, maybe blame it on yourself if it's something this way, something that way. But for the most part, you don't determine the touchdowns.
Right.
If they don't give you the ball in the red zone, you're not going to get many
right.
touchdowns.
If you're getting triple covered, does that make you a bad wide receiver or does that make you a good wide receiver?
Good.
I would say it makes you a really good wide receiver.
Yeah.
And then the Dolphins coach last night, Adam Gase, I just want to know what you're thinking. So they score a touchdown and they get it within 8. So they're down 8 points. They try a surprise onside kick.
In what quarter?
This is the third.
Third quarter.
Little early, boys.
Real early.
So
you think
they don't get it? Okay, the Texans recover, whatever. So then in the fourth quarter, they're down by 15 points with nine and a half minutes to go. 4th and 4 on the Texans' 38-yard line. You're gonna go for it, right?
You got to. You're down 2 scores.
Yeah, you're down 2 scores.
It's the game.
No, he lines up, kicks a field goal to get it within 12. Like, what? Why would you do that? If you're going to go kick the onside kick in the third quarter, in the fourth quarter, why are you not going for 4th and 4? What does getting within 12 do?
So what's the point of doing the onside kick in the third quarter, though?
Just catch him off sides, dude. Like, get crazy with it,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, catch him off guard, and you recover it, and you can hopefully tie the game.
Dude, you're gonna some of these teams that aren't amazing have to do these little rinky-dink things. Like one time the Titans randomly in the first or second quarter did some fake punt, dude, on their own 20. Like game would have been over and they scored a touchdown.
They're so desperate.
The teams that aren't amazing have to do some desperate.
They're so desperate at that point that they think an onside kick in the third quarter is going to work.
Yeah, dude. I mean, what do they
could work,
what
if
they said?
I mean,
it's like a 5%, 10% chance of hitting. So that's one of those when you go onto the roulette wheel and you put 100 down on one number or you put a 25 chip on one number. That's such a dumb, desperate move. Sometimes it hits, though.
I don't know if it's desperate. It's just sort of...
Oh, it's desperate. That
it's
is
trying
desperate.
To catch them off guard, like, because you're not expecting it. In the fourth quarter, when you're down by 8 and there's 4 minutes left, they know an onside kick is coming,
sure.
So they're prepared for it. So usually, you hope they're going to have a mental lapse, and the front line of defense, whatever, receiving team, I don't know what you call them, the up people, you're hoping
up
they're going to take the step back and go like get in position to block immediately because they're not thinking onside kick. Like the Saints, when they were in the Super Bowl, they were down 10-6 at half.
What Super
started
Bowl
the second
are we talking
half?
About?
I remember this.
Yes, they surprised everybody, onside kick, and they recovered it.
I just felt like it was early in the game. You can play a standard game and still win that game at that point. You know what I mean?
Right, like, but it's sort of like a trick play.
I get it.
Sort of like the Danny Amendola touchdown pass. You try to catch them off guard. You try to do something. You surprise them with stuff, and it's like a fake punt. Sometimes it's out of desperation. You're not moving the ball. You're just getting killed, so you try something. But some of it is just trying to keep them off guard, or you see something. Maybe you saw something on tape where they line up a certain way, and if you see that certain look, okay, you know that that's automatically an onside kick.
That certain look that you just need a lucky bounce. Every onside kick that's happened has not been how the defense is set up, has been a lucky-ass bounce. And are these onside kickers, are the kickers getting worse at onside kicks, or do people just not get them anymore? Well, I don't know if I've seen one completed in a while.
They changed the rules,
that might
so
be
you
it,
can't
then.
Have a certain amount of people.
You can't get
a running start on the defense or anything, so it's harder to get the onside kick, yes.
Dude, there you go. That explains it, because I have not seen an onside kick in the longest time. They used to.
No, I've seen them. I just haven't seen them work.
Dude, at one point, I swear, I turn on SportsCenter, it's like, onside kick. Oh, wait, did you see this? Onside kick! Now there's nothing. If you try an onside kick, you're desperate, and you're not ever going to complete it, and you look gross.
There have been a few like last-minute games here in the past couple weeks in the NFL where they've had onside kicks.
Were they even
close? They're just not working.
Well, yeah, because that's when they know they're coming. It's harder when they know it's coming. That's why you try to catch them by surprise.
I mean, it fooled me.
That's what I'm saying.
Just watching it, I thought the ball was coming backwards. And I was like, whoa,
what
happened?
Mean, just watching it.
I was just thinking, I was expecting a regular kickoff. And then all of a sudden, it just looks like it takes that, you know, it hits the top of the ball, it takes that one hop. All of a sudden, I'm like, whoa, it looked on the camera like it was going behind the camera. It freaked me out. I'm like, what is happening? Really? Onside kick now? Like, what is going on? And then I was like, okay, I get
it. And props to the Texans. They were ready for it. I mean, that guy held his spot.
Quick.
He caught it. Boom. Recovered. But, yeah, so Adam Gase, I just don't understand. I don't know if he came on to explain it in his press conference, but it just makes you look like, what are you doing? Like, you have no idea what you're doing as a head football coach. If you're down by 15, you got to score 2 touchdowns, you kick a field goal. You still need 2 possessions, so what's the difference?
Oh, as a coach, though, you just blame it on offensive coordinator or somebody? Special teams wanted to do it.
They never do that.
You can put it off on somebody else.
The head coach makes all the final decisions.
Oh, he does?
You can't blame anybody.
I would just be like, man, special teams coordinator ended up talking me into it. Yeah, dumb idea. Well, now, next question.
Wait, does he make the decision or does he just approve it?
No, the head coach, if you're going to go for it, the head coach says go for it.
Okay.
Dude, if I was a head coach, I would pass the buck on everything. Hey, man, what happened to you guys' defense? You guys gave up 50? What happened there? I don't know. Defensive coordinator will be next. Any more questions? Next one? Your quarterback, he looked like he didn't have any good play call. That would be play calling department. Any other questions? You guys ended up getting rid of your timeouts, and you didn't have timeouts at the end of the game. So anyways.
That would be the timeout department.
Timeout department. Anything else? Thank you, guys. I'll see you next week. Let's go. Let's go, team.
So
many different departments you can blame it on. Like, it's a beautiful
thing.
That would
be human resources.
No guys do it, but I would blame it on everybody else. What were you asking me about the quarterback? I don't know. Ask him. Next question. I mean, coach, as the head coach, you got no response.
So the head coach is out. Eddie comes to the microphone. So, Eddie, you locked up the Dolphins. You said slam the door that +7.5 would cover last night. And I followed your advice. I bet $50 online. Is there anything you'd like to say to me?
Yeah, that's the thing about gambling. You know, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. And so you just have to make up your money somehow. You want to double up another bet? Go for it. I'll have another lock today after the show.
Boo.
What do you want?
What was it in the Dolphins that you saw that you thought they could be within 7.5 of the Houston Texans?
Did you watch the Dolphins in the first half of the game? That's what I saw in the Dolphins. I saw good offense. I saw a terrible defensive game. And I thought they were just going to at least keep up with the Texans. But the Texans took off in the fourth quarter. My bad.
Did you bet your own lock?
I did. And I lost it. I had a parlay. I lost all my four-way parlay. I had the Dolphins plus a 7.5, and I had the game under 44.
Okay, so you missed both of those.
So well, that was a good night for you.
So I don't even know what I had for the...
You should have just went the opposite of all your picks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. Just whatever your gut was telling you, you should have done. Hey, it was a rough night. It happens.
That's gambling.
That's gambling.
Can I address my lock as well?
Yeah. Well, we were going to move on to that. I stayed up and watched the entire Lakers-Nuggets game.
I did too.
And let me tell you...
It's a good game.
Yeah. If the NBA is going to be this competitive all season, we are in for a great NBA season. We are only 4 or 5 games in, some teams 4 or 5. It has been competitive.
Yes.
Really good games back and forth. And I don't usually watch a lot of NBA this early because it's like, okay, usually it's a 15-point blowout. The games have been really good.
I'm different on NBA and MLB. I cannot watch regular season baseball. Dude, I love regular season NBA. A Friday night watching an NBA game? Dude, give me that over most anything.
You guys were bashing the Lakers. They were 0-3. The Lakers are now 2-3.
They back.
They beat the Nuggets, who were undefeated. They? Both of you guys.
I never said anything.
You guys said they were going to be terrible.
Yeah, I'm going to pull back a little bit on my bashing.
When you guys talk about NBA, I sit back because I hadn't watched a lot of games. Now I've watched a couple of Lake games.
And let me tell you, what I saw from the Lakers, they play hard. They hustle. And Lonzo Ball, he is in your face on defense.
Is he really?
He was picking
your face?
Yeah,
the TV. He'll come into the camera and guard the camera.
Nope. Yes, crap. He's in my face.
In your living room.
Like, he was picking up
I've never seen a defender do that before.
It's a good strategy. I mean, he's picking up full court last night, and his shot looks better. He hit a step-back three, and I was like, okay, Lonzo Ball, last year you wanted him to shoot it. He was draining some shots last night, and he was moving the ball. They're not top of the level, but they're a pesky little team. They're going
to
be good.
I want them to be good. I did also want to be right that they'd be 0-7. That would have been me like, yeah, see, look at me now. But I like that they're good. The Lakers are cool.
The NBA wants them to be good.
No, the NBA wants them to be good.
Yeah, you want to know what teams they're showing every Saturday night?
The Lakers. Absolutely. Them. Saturday night, every night.
It's LeBron James. No matter what team LeBron James is, you're going to put him on national TV.
Are the Cavs ever going to be on ESPN again?
Cavs are terrible.
Goodbye Seinfeld and Friends episodes. Like, they're done. They're going to be putting NBA on TNT every night.
And so, yeah, I liked what I saw. The only problem is their bench is a little weak. When their second unit comes in, it's like, how are they going to score points? And Lance Stephenson came off the bench last night in the fourth quarter, and he shake and bake. Shake and bake,
really?
Fella. Oh, man.
Fella. Did you just call him fella?
Yeah, I said shake and bake, fellas. I mean, he step back three, crossover, ooh, dance, three, and then he had a awesome pass to LeBron James for the dunk.
That's what I was going to say. I noticed a lot of good passing from the Lakers. Like, a lot of good trick passes, fake looking the other way, passing it behind the back. I saw a lot of good communication done by the Lakers, and they looked like a team last night.
Well, then that's all LeBron, because in past years, the Lakers have just been, man, you want the ball, do something cool, here you go, boom, take the ball. The one guy takes the ball. Then the next
you expect to see LeBron doing all the action, and last night, it was everyone.
Dude, if they're playing as a team, then that's all LeBron. That's not coaching, that's not anything.
I agree with you, Ray.
Well, you're wrong.
Aww.
First of all, they were better last year. If you watched him, Lonzo Ball has great vision.
He's great, a great assist
vision.
Guy.
That's what I'm saying. So they passed the ball, and they were back cutting last night. They were moving off the ball, and Josh Hart, unheralded guy, he's good. He's good.
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
He played at Villanova. He played.
Okay.
Yes, he's a good little. I guess you call him a two guard.
And what'd you say, unheralded?
Yeah, he doesn't get a lot of love, but he is going to be good. Like, this is his second year, and he's going to be really good.
Is he lefty or no?
No.
I'm thinking of the other guy, Brunson.
Yeah, Jalen Brunson.
Yeah. Is he in the NBA?
Yeah, I don't know who he got drafted by, but I know he's in the NBA. I haven't seen him play yet. And JaVale McGee, he used to be the laughing stock of the NBA.
Still is.
Shaq.
I mean, he looks so funny to me.
Shaq used to just bash on him.
Oh, yeah.
And bash on him. And JaVale McGee's mom would get upset with Shaq. because on TNT he would just make fun of JaVale McGee
because of the way he looks.
No, because
he never scores points.
He was terrible.
And he was collecting championships, and he's not any good.
And he was just a goofball.
Yeah, he plays good.
He's a solid contributor. He's back-to-back nights. He scored over 20 points for the Lakers, rebounding, playing some defense. They're building. They're building. The Lakers are building. I mean, we're only five games in. They're building.
When you say building, you mean building for this season?
Oh, yeah. They're going to be in the playoffs this year.
Oh, yeah.
No, 16, no coach, you didn't say that.
16 teams make it. I said they'd make the playoffs.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, you did.
I
did not. At the very beginning of the season, you said
they're just not going to make a push towards the Warriors.
No, stop.
I said it's going to take 2 years to build this team.
Dude, the only team that's not going to make the playoffs is like the – who's a bad team real quick? Magic?
What do you mean the only team
There's like
not
one
going
team
to.
In the NBA that doesn't make the playoffs. Everybody else makes the playoffs. If you're horrible, you don't make the playoffs. If you're decent, you make the playoffs.
Half the teams make the playoffs. Eight teams from each conference.
It's not like that in any other sport.
But – you guys at the beginning of the season did say the Lakers would not make the playoffs,
correct.
So let's relax. But you can change your opinion. That's the whole thing. We come on here and we say, hey, we thought this. You see, once you start seeing stuff with your eyes, hey, something's different. Last night, Ray said, lock it up over 130 or 236 and a half. And Ray, what happened?
It ended up going 235. Here's the thing. That line at game time was 234.
Stop.
The disadvantage we have is we're making these picks hours and hours before the line.
That's not the disadvantage.
Yeah, it
is.
That's
an advantage. I mean, obviously, the line's going to change
lines
as
are gonna
the
fluctuate.
Game goes
Coach,
on.
Coach, it fluctuates. So listen, some of my bettors, what I'm saying is I was wrong, but some of my bettors actually got the correct bet because it was 234. So they probably won.
I do not think it moved 2.5 points.
It did. It was 234 game time. I looked at it on my phone. I wouldn't just bring that up.
But
and
even
lie.
If it does move 2.5 points, I mean, that's
that
okay.
means a lot of money came
that
in.
That just means a money lot. Came in. That's
on the
it.
Under. On the under. Heavy money came in on the under. But what I'm saying is I didn't lose a ton of people money. I'm hoping some of my bettors got that 234 line. It was on the move. Some of them might have got 235, so it was a push. Only the people that bet with me at the podcast right in the afternoon lost the bet. Everybody else won the bet because it was over what that line was at. It was moving throughout the day.
Just say you lost.
I lost. You can't. All that stuff you just said is inaccurate. Like you can't
it's not
say
inaccurate.
Everyone else won the bet. Like
if you made the bet past 4 o'clock, you won the lock. I told you. If you made it before four, you lost it because it was 236.
I got you.
Everybody else got the 235 line, the 234. So I mean, I just wish this was a night podcast. I would have been right. So
you lost.
I did lose. Yeah. But a line that fluctuates like that, I've got to be cut a break a little bit.
No.
And like, I didn't get a lot about it. Some guy, I explained it to him on Twitter. I was like, hey, man, that line was moving. Just don't put all the blame on me. And he's like, man, you're right. You're right. So, I mean, I've been explaining it myself to some people. I give you a lock. But my number I gave you wasn't the lock, but there was a lock out there.
Well, here's the thing about our locks, though. Like, we are really giving our true opinion on who's going to win this. Like, what bet is going to win?
Yes.
That's why we call it a lock. Is it always going to win? No.
But is it going to win a majority of the time?
Yes.
Are you
gonna win?
Not.
Are you going to win a lot of money?
Yes.
Are you going to be able to take off work?
Yes.
Are you going to be able to retire young?
Yes. But here's the thing.
You're going to be able to buy a boat?
Guys, like the way I gamble and the way Ray gambles, it's very, very different. Like, I do not risk a lot of money. If you are risking a lot of money and picking our locks, that's on you, the listener. Guys, listen, if you're risking a lot of money on our locks, be careful. That's on you. You
sound like a school teacher, dude. Sound like a gambler, would you?
If you want to make a lot of money at low risk, listen to me. Don't spend more than $5 on a bet.
Hey, if you want to make $10 at the end of a weekend, listen to Eddie.
Hey, being up on money is being up. That's $10
hey,
you didn't have.
Maybe you don't have a lot of money to gamble. Maybe you just want to have fun. You want to have skin in the game. You want to relate to us and feel part of the action. You want to feel that adrenaline rush. Sometimes a dollar does that for you. $5
that's what I'm talking about,
does it for you. It doesn't have to be a lot of money.
Yes.
Dude, if you need a dollar bet because you're fiending for that feel of gambling, you got a problem.
We don't want to see you fighting with your spouses
or you
on
can
the
bet,
streets.
You like, can bet your spouse or your friend a pack of Skittles if you believe in our lock and they don't believe in our lock, just say, hey, I'll bet you a bag of Skittles. All right. Boom. It's on. We're not encouraging gambling, but if you want to gamble, gamble.
But
it's fun.
If you're at your house and you're slamming doors, you're slamming cabinets, you're yelling at your kids because of gambling, you need to stop. But if you're progressively making money, if you see that it is lucrative, continue to do it because you're good at it, just like us. We're helping you. We're advisors, really.
Right, and if you buy a third TV because you need three TVs in the living room to watch all the games,
dude,
I don't know if you should quit or you should keep going, but that's a bold strategy.
That's where I'm at. I got my own TV in my office now. Like, now I'm going to have my gambling room. My TV's
in. So you're going to go and ignore your kids in the gambling room. That's a problem.
Well, no, it depends. If my kids go to bed at 8:30, if the game's on after 8:30, I'm going to the gambling room.
If your kids ask you, hey, Dad, why are you cheering for both teams? And the reason is because you either have an over-under, so you have to cheer for both teams, or you have so many parlays in the game. So if you're cheering for both teams and your kid asks you, that's kind of depressing. Make sure you hide it from your kids.
Do you explain to your kids what gambling is?
No. They don't know I'm gambling. They come to the room every time and they're like, who are we going for? And I'll just pick a team. Falcons. And be like, okay, let's go Falcons.
Do your kids know you're a poser fan?
What does that mean?
That means you show up today in an LA Dodgers hat. I mean, that's what that means. Like, do they know that you just hop on the bandwagon?
That I don't have a baseball team?
Well, yeah, but you...
They know who my football team is. They know who my basketball team is. I don't have a baseball team. That's why I have a Cardinals hat, a Dodgers hat, a Mets hat. What else?
Dude, the Dodgers hat's more of just like a trendy thing.
I have a Boston hat.
You have a Boston hat?
Yeah, I have.
Why would you not wear the Boston hat? They're up 2-0.
I just picked this. You act like I went to my. Let me see, which one do I wear today? Oh, let me wear this one. I just pick hats.
I'm just saying.
I have 200 hats in my closet.
It's weird. I've not seen you wear the Dodgers hat in a while. They're in the World Series. Game's in L.A. tonight. And boom, you show up in an L.A. hat. But you didn't plan it. It was just randomly drawn.
I wore the Dodgers hat a couple weeks ago when I went to L.A.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Now that we haven't seen it. You weren't here. We didn't see the L.A. hat.
I have a Cubs hat. I have all sorts of hats.
So it's just a coincidence you wore it on the World Series Game 3 day when they're going to be in L.A.
Correct.
Ray, are you buying just a coincidence?
I think he threw the L.A. hat on because he's going to be getting gas. He's around town. Maybe he has some noon meeting, and he's going to see people. He wants to be that, my team's in the World Series, look.
Exactly. Or just people driving next to him in his car and be like, oh, that dude's in a good mood. His Dodgers are in the World Series.
If the Dodgers lost last round, he's not wearing that hat.
No, I'd wear the Red Sox hat.
Yes.
I mean, guys, you all put too much thought into that.
No. We don't.
But I'm not a poser.
Well,
I don't have a baseball team. I love sports. I love watching sports. I love my Dallas Cowboys and I love my San Antonio Spurs. Other than that, I really don't care.
But really, most guys that wear a hat, they're bragging about something. Most guys, honestly, that wear the hat, they're bragging about something.
I wear a hat because I don't have hair.
If it's a camouflage hat, boom, I'm a hunter. I'm bragging.
Right.
Most guys that wear a certain hat, it's not just going to say something on it like, have a great day.
Yeah.
It doesn't. It always says something they're bragging about.
Okay, I got
it. So always look at that.
Is a hat more, okay. Do more guys wear a hat because they like the team or for like fashion? Like it's a fashionable hat. Like what?
More people?
Yeah, like more guys. Like I don't know.
The majority is your question?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of that.
It's a fashion. It's a fashion thing.
Oh, so you think
20 years ago it was like the team.
Fans.
Dude, nowadays it's all fashion. That's why if somebody's wearing a sports hat, I don't even comment on it because it's a fashion thing. They're just trying to look cool. Most people aren't diehards of the hat.
You can blame that on 1990s hip hop. I mean, once Ice Cube and all those dudes started repping Raiders hats, like then it just became a fashion thing. Then everyone was just like, yeah, I'm a gangster. I wear Raiders. Do you even know who plays for the Raiders? No. Didn't matter. It was just fashion.
It really was a gangster thing.
It was a gangster. I was in the Valley in South Texas, and there were a bunch of Mexican gangbangers wearing Raider stuff. I'm like, guys, please, like, come on. Like, yo, big fan of Bo Jackson? Who? Exactly. Like,
yeah, because I do make that mistake sometimes when I see someone in a hat, I'll make a comment, and they'll just, yeah. Because you want to.
You think they're fans.
You think they're a fan, and so you try to. So, like, if someone went up to Eddie and be like, yeah.
Oh, hey, that happens to me all the time.
Kershaw.
I went to an Arkansas Razorback game, so we went to Walmart right before the game to get a shirt because I didn't have anything Razorbacks, and I still wear it sometimes, and I'm at the grocery store. People will be like, woo pig. I'll be like, yeah, man. Like, I don't woo pig. Like, I've never gone for the Razorbacks in my life.
Man, and it's kind of sad, though, that this is the last weekend of baseball. Like, this is it.
Yeah. It's sad, but dude, it lasts so many months. It's been a good run.
And we
it was fun watching
it.
Baseball
And we
this
ignore
year.
It for so many months.
We do, and then it comes, and then it goes,
So
dude.
We can't be those people where it's like almost like you miss it when it's gone, but when it's here, you're like, I'm not watching baseball. I don't watch that crap till October.
Dude, NBA is so good. NFL's so good, and college football's so good. Those are my top three. I mean, then goes baseball number four. So when baseball's done, I really am not that sad. When football's done, dude, I'm depressed.
Really sad.
I'm real depressed.
Real sad.
But the NBA makes up for it for another 4 months or whatever until into June,
correct.
Which I love But then we have that lull again when it's baseball, June, July, August.
I love opening day, though. Like, that whole, like, couple weeks of opening day, like, going back and forth, like, I love that excitement. But then I lose it in the middle of the season.
Dude, you're a huge fan of baseball if you live in Chicago. If you live in Boston, name another city for me. I mean, if you live in the vicinity of Chicago, dude, you're the biggest baseball fan, and it sucks when baseball's over. But if you live in Nashville, we don't even have a team here. But
we
have a
Triple A team.
So even if say you live in Cincinnati, Reds baseball's done. They suck this year.
Atlanta,
I mean, a lot of cities, dude, they're not that big of fans of baseball. I give you the Chicagos, I give you the Bostons. They love baseball, and baseball's amazing in those cities. I've been to Chicago, amazing, crazy. I wasn't even a Chicago Cubs fan. Dude, I went to one game, like, afterwards. I was like, man, I almost want to be a Cubs fan. That was that cool of an atmosphere.
It's so fun.
The bars around there, everybody's laughing, high-fiving, chicks are flashing. Dude, it was crazy.
Chicks were flashing at the game?
Outside of it. Wrigleyville and Sheffield Avenue is the craziest little two-block stretch I've ever seen.
Did you stop by and see the Harry Carey statue?
No, dude, I was in college. I wasn't trying to do a history lesson.
did you try to get a piece of the ivy off the wall? I mean, anything?
How do you do that?
What, the statue?
No, how do you get a piece of ivy
off the
wall? I don't
know if you can.
Yeah, I don't know if that's
because they got the basket there, so it'd be hard to reach down. Yes. I've always wanted to sit in the bleachers at Wrigley Field.
I did.
Of all the many times I've been, I've never sat in the bleachers.
There's a memory I have. Me and my wife went, and we sat in the bleachers, and it was a noon game, and it was so freaking hot and awesome. At the same time, we were drunk, and we were at a Cubs game at Wrigley. Dude, and I'm not kidding. Some days I'll be driving home and it'll be the exact same weather as it was at Wrigley that day, and I'll think about Wrigley.
You know
and
what?
I'll think about being on those bleachers with my wife watching that game.
Really?
Yeah.
That's nostalgic, dude.
Dude, it's one of those things. It's got to be that perfect weather, and I'll be like, oh, dude, this was it. This is the weather at Wrigley. I remember that.
You know what we did see at Wrigley? The Bartman chair.
Did you?
And if I'm not mistaken, they have a little mark on that chair so you know it's the Bartman chair where he sat that game.
What?
You know what? That's the least they can do for that kid.
Not that they say this is where Bartman sat. I think it's just
they should at least give him a plaque or something. I think
it was where was it at?
Just along the left field line, right there, halfway up that.
When did you go?
Because Bartman happened when I was in high school, and then I went in college. And
what are you saying? What's there?
I think there was a yellow circle just around the seat number.
Oh, just to remember.
Yeah, it's not like it says Steve Bartman on it. And then there were some people around us that were like, "Yeah, that's the Bartman chair," and we just looked at it. It wasn't the.
Did you take a picture in it?
There weren't cell phones. There wasn't.
Yeah, he put headphones on and I was like, it was Bartman.
When I was in college, there weren't camera phones. They just kind of started. So we just like maybe took a Polaroid. Who knows where that is?
The struggle's real, man, back then.
Man, that's rough. I'm going to tell you one thing. I went to Wrigley summer of 99 on my baseball road trip. It was me, my buddy Forrest.
No Teeth Keith.
Forrest's little brother Robin and Forrest's dad Steve. And Forrest and I are there, and Forrest knows the Cubs are my favorite team. And we're in the friendly confines of Wrigley Field. So Forrest takes his little disposable camera. He's going to go get a picture of Sammy Sosa on deck.
Oh, no.
And some guy yells at Forrest, "Hey, get down," you know, in front. And Forrest turns around and starts cursing at him.
How old is Forrest?
We're 18 years old. We've just graduated high school.
They're adults.
All right. I was thinking they're like
Me
14.
Me too. I thought they were like 12.
And so Forrest and this guy
doing family road trip.
Start going back and forth or whatever. Forrest gets kicked out of the friendly confines at Wrigley Field.
Wow.
Dang.
He gets thrown out, and we don't even know it. Like, we're in our seats, and he just never comes back.
So you watch the game started and everything, and you're like, Forrest.
Well, it's
here.
In the middle of the game when he went to go down and get a picture.
Oh, okay.
And then he just never came back. And this is before cell phones. Like, we have no idea where he is. We're just like, well, what do we do?
Guys, if someone goes MIA in the middle of any big event, they've gotten kicked out. Like, that happened to me.
Or they get arrested.
Or something. Yeah, exactly. Either arrested or kicked out. Something bad has happened. They're no longer in the stadium. It happened to my cousin. She got really drunk over at iHeart Country Fest. And, like, she was with my family.
Classy.
I gave her backstage passes. They were like, dude, she's MIA. We haven't seen her in, like, 2 hours. Guess what? She got kicked out. She missed the whole concert. She was outside, probably roaming the streets of Austin, Texas.
Oh, so
how did she get kicked out? Just being crazy?
Just being stupid.
Being stupid. So Forrest got, because he was yelling at the guy, and the usher told Forrest he needs to go sit down. And Forrest goes, I'm just trying to take a blanking picture or whatever.
Yeah.
And he gets kicked out. So we're like, what do we do? So we walk back to the van, and because we still have no idea where Forrest is. And Forrest got in through the window and unlocked it. So he left the friendly confines, walked around for a little bit, found a bowling alley, bowled two games, bowled a 220, then climbed in the van.
Dude, hey, you know what? Is this guy? The world's most fascinating man?
Hey, you know what? He made the best out of a really crappy situation.
Yes, and then to add on top of that, so we were staying with my grandma, my mom's mom, who lives in Chicago.
What the?
Okay, so we're staying there, and Forrest, this is when Woodstock.
Well, her friend Anita's there.
Well, that's a buzzkill.
She's playing bingo.
You get back from the Cubs game all drunk to grandma's.
No.
Her friend Anita's there. She's playing bingo. She hits a B7 for the win, $500. Forrest goes crazy. He gets kicked out of the bingo place.
So we go to grandma's, and Forrest has this genius idea. He wants to take a bus to Woodstock in New York. Because they're having Woodstock in 99.
Oh, yeah. That was Woodstock 2.
Yes. And he wants to go. And his dad's like, I just don't think it's a good idea for you to take a bus from Chicago and go.
So, by himself?
By himself. So Forrest gets mad, storms out of my grandma's house. And let me just say, my grandma doesn't live in the nicest area.
Southside.
Southside Chicago?
Southside, yes.
Caprini Green.
No. But Markham, Illinois. And so he just starts walking. And he gets lost.
Oh my, dude, who is this Forrest guy?
So Forrest
Gump. Dude, it's really just, Forrest Gump.
He just takes off walking places, getting kicked out.
Forrest, where are you going? I was running.
So then he has to go to a payphone, call collect to his mom back in Austin and have her, because he doesn't know the number to my grandma's house. And we have to go, he has to give an address and we have to go pick Forrest up because he got lost walking through Chicago because he got mad.
He's a hot mess, huh?
In a bad neighborhood.
Wow.
It was a great trip. But the point of the story was he got kicked out of Wrigley Field.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's, kicked out.
That sucks.
Yeah. So you watched the whole Lakers game last night.
I did watch the whole Lakers game.
Did you see Phil talking?
Phil.
Mickelson.
Oh, yeah. At the end of the game. I love that.
Well, they had him on with the, they were talking to him with
the announcer.
They were
talking about Tiger versus Phil.
Yes. And they came out and they said the Tiger versus Phil, it's going to be $19.99 on pay-per-view. That is how much interest they think it's going to lack. Wait, that they had to make it $19.99.
It's $20?
That's it.
That's the lowest pay-per-view ever.
I've ever heard of. And that tells me that they're like, they were worried that if they put it, no one was going
to
watch.
Well, Coach, why does that tell you that? Did you want to pay whatever for that to watch that match?
I am not going to pay $19.99.
Would you pay $10 to watch that? Exactly.
Well, it's not an event you can have a watch party for. Guys, Super Bowl, watch party. Guys, UFC, watch party. Phil versus Tiger playing 18 holes that last 9 hours?
Right.
Or 5 hours? Not a watch party.
Not a watch party at all.
It's not rocket science. You ask yourself, would you pay $19.99 to watch this thing? No. So I'm sure everyone, they probably had it at like $30 or $40 to watch it. And they're like, guys, would you guys, in the conference room, would you guys watch this for $40? Hell no. Okay, we should probably drop that price.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. It's supposed to be this big event, and then it looks like it's at the dollar store. $19.99? Like, it's like Tiger versus Phil. $19.99.
What do you mean the dollar store? Is it the 99? What do you mean?
Well, I'm saying
it's so cheap.
It's so cheap. It's like...
But you're used to seeing, you know, fights at pay-per-view, which are $100, right?
Right. Like, Coach, they're all $100.
Yeah. They're $65. It's a grand marquee. It's a huge deal. The lights, the glamour, pay-per-view, $65. Like, this is a big event. And then they put it on the clearance rack at $19.99. That's what I mean. It's like, wow, this looks really bad for Tiger and Phil. Like, $19.99?
After we say all this, lunch is going to have a watch party and we're doing tequila shots.
Tequila.
I'm telling you, I will not watch this. Like, I do not care. They play all the time. They play in tournaments every week.
Coach, I'm telling you, no one is going to watch this. No one. Like, out of us
you
three.
You know who is going to watch it?
Who?
Vegas. Because you can bet it, and it's almost kind of even money. So you pick your favorite golfer, and you watch it for 5 hours.
Can you watch it for free at the sports book?
Of course no. They're not. You know,
no.
You don't think they're going to buy it?
Is that legal?
But they have to buy it per TV.
Okay.
Okay. So
that would cost them $100,000. Like, UFC fights aren't shown at the sports book.
They're not?
No, if it's a pay-per-view, no.
Interesting. Yeah. I never knew that.
That's the deal with pay-per-view.
Yeah, you get to pay per TV. Like, that's why restaurants.
You've never seen UFC in Vegas?
No.
Dang, I've never thought about that.
Because I think that's right, because like restaurants, that's why they charge a cover usually when you go to a restaurant.
Yes.
Because it's not like they're paying just for one $65 pay-per-view. They have to pay for every TV they have in their restaurant. If I'm right.
If you're right. I don't know. I remember doing a news story on this a while back, and I feel like it's just a flat fee.
Or per your capacity, however many people can fit.
Per capacity.
And it's a really expensive fee,
though. It's really expensive.
So you have to think you're going to sell a lot of drinks because you have to be able to make up that money.
Correct.
And the entire event of that bar that night is UFC. Because I went to Sam's Boat before in Austin. Every TV's on UFC. There are some girls there, but for the most part, it's just a bunch of dudes sitting in a bar, hopefully spending money. Otherwise, you're not making anything because girls aren't there buying the girly drinks. It's literally guys buying beers. I hope you're making $20,000 from beers.
And my news story was following the dude that goes around these restaurants making sure that they paid. If they're showing it, they paid, and they count the heads that are in there and like, all right, you're covered.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and if not, they write a fine.
And I just forgot. They make up some of the money. They do a cover, 20. All these places.
Yeah, that's $20. A lot of it is 20 bucks. That's why you don't see it in the sports book. But Tiger versus Phil has no interest to me. But Phil was talking yesterday on the telecast with Reggie Miller or whatever. He's like, yeah, you know, we may make it interesting and – you know, I mean,
little side bets.
He's like, oh, you know, if Phil or Tiger, you know, runs the putt past, I may walk up and be like, 50,000, you make that putt. And I'm like, they are trying to hype this up so much. They are trying to sell this so hard.
That's ridiculous because nobody cares about their kind of money.
Now, I do know.
Like, their money's crazy. Like, they win a tournament and they win $8 million.
He's saying more that there will be trash talk and more. It will be more interactive than them just being quiet and playing a solid
game. I would hope there would be some trash talk. There's going to be no audience, really. Maybe just a couple people that work there is going to be watching it. It's going to be quiet. Maybe Nance is commentating it. But for the most part, it's just going to be a lot of awkward silence.
No, they're going to be talking. That's what he was saying. They'll be talking and they'll be, you know,
but you realize
crap.
It's not the hustle and bustle of a normal tournament with a little bit of stuff in the background. There's going to be nothing. You're just going to hear water running and birds.
And do we really, does their trash talk entice me to buy it for $19.99?
No,
because it's all fake trash talk. They don't really care. Like, they are just, it's a big money grab. They're both going to get paid. I bet you they get paid to be there, obviously. And then the winner gets like $9 million. Who cares?
At what price would you be interested in buying it?
$0. I would not buy
lowest.
It for 50 cents. I wouldn't pay 50 cents
for it. You
wouldn't
pay 50?
No.
Right?
The only reason you would buy this is if you're betting on it. Like, who cares if you're not betting on it? If you watch this and you're not betting on it, you're a loser. You need to get a betting account. You need to set it up and have a little bit of skin in the game because you just have 5 hours that you must love to waste because why else would you watch this? Why else do
it's pretty sad.
I mean, like, you think about it. Did we watch golf before DraftKings? No. Do we watch golf every weekend now? I didn't watch it before
when
DraftKings.
When you bet, yeah.
You didn't watch the majors? That's when I watched
it.
Dude,
I didn't
majors.
Start until college. Until my buddy said, hey, pick five golfers for the Masters, that's the first time I watched golf.
But coach, I didn't start watching the majors until we started doing those pools.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude,
that
I never
so
watched
crazy
I never
to me.
Watched it. But now I watch golf every weekend. Golf is in my top five. In my top five sports.
For sure.
I love golf.
I do too.
On a Sunday right before work from 1 to 5, dude, you can't beat that spread of just laying on the couch and watching some golf.
Okay, the
a major. Not just a Honda Open.
Coach, if you're doing DraftKings, I watch every weekend. My girl's like, you know what? This is relaxing. I actually enjoy watching this with you. It ends up being a couple event too.
Coach, I watch Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I watch Thursday and Friday on my phone, Saturday and Sunday in the afternoons on TV.
I'm really interested to see how much you interact with your kids. Because
they go to school, right? Like they're gone.
He's
until
like
four
I have
o'clock.
A TV in my office that I go in there and that's where I watch the games. And I mean, man, maybe we need to withdraw that gambling money.
Maybe you should worry about your own life. Like my life is good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just looking out for a friend. There's a number you can call.
Dude, there's so many different ways that you can look at how people are with their kids.
You're being funny right now, which is cute.
When people go home, are they energetic for 2 hours? Well, then that actually is a better parent than somebody that sleeps on the couch for 6 hours, you know? You know what I'm saying? From the like
I don't compare myself to those parents.
You can't compare yourself. Like my dad was the best dad ever, but dude, when I came home most of the time, he was sleeping. He was exhausted from his job. So he really for the most part, we didn't talk that much.
Yeah.
Eddie, in the 10 minutes that he's energetic, he's you know, an amazing dad, but then he goes and watches his sports. You can't compare parents. That's so many different variables and things that go into it. Dude, I mean, just because a dad's laying on the couch doesn't mean he doesn't love you. He's freaking exhausted from his job. Just because a dad likes watching sports doesn't mean he doesn't love the kid.
I'm lucky to have a job where I'm done at 11 a.m. Like,
dude, and I argue for you. You spend some quality when you spend time with your kids. That is quality. Dude, you're taking them to zoos.
Like my kids are my oldest.
How many times
son,
have you taken your kids to the zoo
this year?
Yeah,
I don't know, 15.
That's amazing, dude. My dad would never take us to the zoo because he probably hated the zoo.
So. My kid's 10 years old. In 10 years, I have spent more time with my kids than my dad's ever spent with me in my entire life.
And there you go.
Like,
but was your dad a really good dad? Your dad was a good dad.
He's a good dad.
That's what I'm saying. It's all different comparisons. Your dad was a great dad. You're a great dad, but you both spend different times with your kids.
Yeah.
It's all different.
I pick him up from school and I'm there the whole time. If I'm in my room for an hour, like working, then I'm in my room for an hour. But dude, I'm with them for hours. And the weekend, every hour.
And the times that Eddie is with his kids, I don't see Eddie just laying down and not really talking to them and being sleepy. I see him being energetic, having fun with them. I saw you on Instagram. You put on these goofy glasses.
Yeah, we made those together.
My dad would never do that. But that's what I'm saying. You're a crazy, wacky dad, and that's cool. You're your own kind of dad. Like, dude, my dad would never put on goofy glasses and be like, I'm going to take a picture and put this on Instagram. Like, my dad would never do that in a million years. You're a different type of dad.
Thank you, man.
Good grief, guys. I made a joke, hey guys, and you thank got you for all listening.
People think,
serious.
People think we're serious.
Oh my goodness.
Hey guys, thank you for turning in to NPR. This has been Parent Radio.
Man, that's exactly. Parent Radio. I mean, geez.
If you want more tips,
we
to
make
parents?
A joke about his gambling all the time. I make one, and we went into what a great daddy.
You don't
is.
Sound
I
mean, like you're joking, though. Is the
I
problem.
Mean, goodness gracious!
If you too want to become a better parent, give us a call at NPR. We are here to help. Great parenting takes time. This is NPR.
For more parenting advice, you can go to parenting.com on NPR/42791.org.
The average parent spends 2 to 4 hours with their kid. Make it quality time. Increase it to 5 hours. We'll let you know how tomorrow.
But just make sure you don't compare yourself to another parent. Each parent is different. Each child is different. You be you and worry about you only.
Next week on the Parenting Cast, we're going to be talking about how to have sharing conversations with your kids.
And we'll also define parenting. Are you really parenting or are you bossing?
And on episode 37, we're going to talk about how far is too far with punishment.
And with watching sports again.
Woo! Man.
That's funny.
So anyway... It's the day after Thanksgiving.
I appreciate Ray, though, giving me that.
I mean,
thank you. Because you make me feel like, first, you're full of crap, but second,
No, stop. We were joking. You joke about me. I joke about you. We were joking about your gambling. Ray jokes about your gambling all the time. We were just joking about your gambling,
oh,
and
you
took it
serious.
Very personal.
I thought you were serious.
I mean,
Ray went off on this whole thing because he probably thought you were serious, too.
Hey, speaking of gambling, though, do you have a parlay in place for this weekend?
He has six parlays in place.
He's hit a seven-teamer.
Well, you Lunchbox, will you stop speaking for me?
Dude, if you really...
How many parlays do you
two.
Have?
Two. Oh. Dude.
You said seven.
So Eddie has already hit a 17 parlay, paid a couple $100. If you hit a 12-team parlay and you make, what did we say, the $3,000?
It's $2,400.
That's amazing. That would be so huge for this show, and I think it would give us even more credibility. We got a Twitter account now that puts out our bets. People are starting to believe in our bets. If you hit a 12-teamer... Dude, that's I bet a website would pick that up.
Before the game on Sunday, before the morning game on Sunday, so probably Saturday night.
Do we have another Paris game?
Yes, we do.
8:30 a.m.
Yes, we do. And before that game, I will probably have 5-12 game parlays going in.
Here's what's funny. I just said he had six parlays going, and he got mad at me, and he said he'll have five. Sorry.
Because you're speaking false statements.
Here we go again. Eddie. It's sarcasm. Do you understand? I am just talking.
Oh, I understand you're full of crap. I get that. But I'm telling you right now, as of now, I only have two parlays.
But you will have five.
I will have five
okay.
before
are
the week
these parlays,
starts.
Have you already knocked off some games, or are you just starting these parlays?
No, these are ones that survived.
Two
survived last night.
So you have
how
two
that
survived,
lose?
And what are those One. Teamers? What are the how many? What are the teamers? 12 team?
12. They're all
you
12.
You have two 12-teamers still alive
Correct.
That survived
yeah,
tonight.
Yeah, but it only survived one game.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it only survived the last night's game.
Hey, one game checked off.
See how it goes.
Dude, I'm telling you, you hit the 7-teamer. What was that high like?
Amazing.
That's not...
Dude, it's so great that you start doubting yourself. You start going back on websites. You're like, are you sure I covered on that one? Like, I don't remember covering on this one. I'm like, okay, I covered that one.
Dude, the craziest parlay...
And then I had to send it to Lunchbox and be like, dude, I think I got this crap. Like, I think I got it. And, you know, I know he'll double check it, obviously, or he knows the scores on the top of his head. And so it was it. It was legit.
The first part, you'll always remember your first parlay, they say. I've always heard that. I remember my first parlay that I hit. It was a $100 parlay in college. I had no money. Literally had no money. And I put $100 on three NBA playoff games, hit all three of them, won $700. Dude, cashed out. That $700 lasts me months. Dude, it was the greatest gambling hit ever, like in comparison.
Oh, God.
It's all relative.
In college, $700 will last you a whole semester.
My friends were like, you really? You picked three teams? I'm like, and they put, you put $100 on it? Yeah. They're like, you hit? Dude, they were blown away. I was blown away. It was the greatest high.
The first time I learned how to gamble was when I was a kid. No Teeth Keith, who was my old baseball coach, he would call into this number and his, what's your password? Willie Mays. That was his password. And every once in a while, he would let us do a two-game or a three-gamer. And he's the one that taught me this, how did the spreads work. And he also taught me, kid, why don't we do a three-game teaser this weekend?
What's a teaser?
A teaser is you can add 3 points, 4 points, 5 points, 6 points to the spread. Like, so if you want to, if like this week the Bears are -7 at home against the Jets, you could tease that down to the Bears -1.
But it pays less.
Yes. Or you
-4. It's usually a 3 point.
You can do a 6 point.
Okay.
Or you can take the Jets up to +13 or +12, you know, however many number you want to do. And that's how you do a teaser.
All right.
But you don't get paid as much.
I'm not ready for that one yet. But I see it as an option on the website, and I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, do it. Yeah, that's easier than the regular spread because you get to take away points or add points.
Yeah, but it also takes your jackpot down a little
way
bit.
Way down.
Yeah.
Way down.
You end up having to do about 3 games to get normal even money with 3 teasers in play. But, dude, you get a 14.5 in the NFL, and you tease that to 17. Dude, you're chilling in the third quarter still with 7. I mean, those points last forever.
The Bills are +14
this
week.
There you go. Tease that to 17.
You can tease them up to +20.
Wow.
But you'd have to do some parlaying, otherwise you're not going to get even money back.
Oh, for sure.
Well, you won't get even money regardless.
Right. You only did NFL last night. You didn't do any college?
So I haven't. I was going to ask you.
Last night you didn't do any college.
No, I didn't do college.
There were some amazing college games last night.
Well, West Virginia smoked Baylor, right? And I was watching a little bit, and I saw the funniest thing I've ever seen. I've never seen this called. After the ball, or unsportsmanlike conduct on the defense, number 68, using inappropriate language. He used profanity. He used profanity. He got a 15-yard penalty for using profanity.
What word did he say?
I don't know.
Did he say the C word?
What?
Because that C word's pretty bad.
Yeah. But so who cares? Like
On the football field, the only one I can really see is probably F.
Yeah.
But
man, what the?
Stop. He didn't say it to the ref.
Oh, he didn't?
Can
you not curse in college?
I don't know. I had never heard that called in my life. I never heard a ref say 15-yard penalty, he used profanity.
What? Damn.
That's funny.
I saw that, and my wife was watching, and she goes, you can't cuss? Like, I'd never heard that before. Like,
hey, got
you
it.
Don't think there's cursing on the football field
all
every
the time.
Single play?
It must have been pretty intense.
Of course.
It must have been a very vicious
and
word.
He must use a really bad word.
Yeah.
What word could be that bad?
There are a lot of bad words out there.
Stop. What? Explain them to me because I don't see any word that's worth 15 yards.
I don't even want to try to give you hints.
It could have been, yeah.
I'm out. No. I'm not. You're not going to get me down this wormhole.
Maybe it was directed at the ref, so the ref was mad.
No, because the ref wasn't. I mean, he was just walking by, and he throws the flag. What are you saying?
I'm not going to say it.
Oh, my gosh. All right. You guys are annoying because you guys are just being stupid right
now. No.
Yes.
He should have said the word.
15-yard penalty on the defense. He said the word. Beep. Damn.
15 yards, 67 on the defense. He said, beep. You.
There you go. Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you.
You mother beep.
That's better.
And he also followed up with a beep beep.
He also said, "Eat my beep."
No.
You son of
a beep. When you say he said, "Eat my beep," are you talking about his?
Wait, you can't.
You can't.
You talking about his poop or his other thing?
See, you're giving too much.
I'm just saying, these are the lines that gets the 15.
Because if you said, eat my poop, what's wrong with eat my poop?
It was like, you know, it might have been, eat my beep and
beep, beep, you beep.
Speaking of eating.
Piece of beep.
Woman in South Carolina, she got arrested, hooking up with this dude. Tried to bite off his genitalia.
Oh, my goodness. I thought they were done with that. I thought that people didn't do that anymore. Remember Bobbit?
Oh, yeah. She cut it off and threw it out the window into the cornfield.
Oh, my goodness. Do you know that story?
Yeah.
But, Hannah, South Carolina.
She bit it off, huh?
She tried to. trying to bite off a man's genitals.
Wow.
The only thing stopping her from biting it is him just like jerking her off. I mean, getting her off.
All right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I think it's totally possible to do that.
Okay.
You know what I meant.
Yeah, I know exactly what I meant.
Because it's totally possible to do that, right? She could have successfully done that.
Yeah.
If he wouldn't have moved.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Yes. All right. So this weekend, we got the World Series tonight.
Yes.
And I think the World Series ends this weekend because I said before the series, under 6 games. And so they're not going back to Boston. Boston, be ready to have your parade on Tuesday. Because it takes a couple days to plan the parade. But, yeah, you're going to be having a parade very soon for the World Series. And then now it's time for college football, basketball this weekend, the NFL. We need some locks. We need to make some money.
Eddie's got
to
have a lock.
Eddie's got to have a lock.
He only
has 2 parlays. Lunch, don't talk for him.
Dude, you've got to come up with a good lock. Lunch has multitudes of games to choose from. Please give us a lock. Because they like our this whatever site it is. It's called like Sore Losers something. They post our bets, and they like each one of us to have a
Sore
lock.
Sore Losers bets.
Yeah.
They like us to have a lock. So when Eddie goes, these are my parlays, that doesn't really play into it. Like give, boom, 3 bold
Correct.
Locks. Boom, we're out the door. Or we win people money.
All right. Eddie, let's hear it.
You want to start with me?
Yeah.
I am taking the Chiefs. They are in Denver this week, and they are, let me pull up the line. I believe it's 10. Yeah. The Chiefs are negative 10. For sure, that's a lock. So slam the door on the Chiefs minus 10.
And just so you know, they're in Kansas City.
So they're at Arrowhead. Even better. Even better.
All right, guys, I got Northwestern in Wisconsin. It's an earlier game, 11. Maybe snowing in the Chicago area. Haven't checked the weather. Usually I do. So,
Coach, that's huge.
That could play into effect.
Yeah.
But I'm saying with that lake effect snow, you never know. Is it going to go north, south, east, west? It all depends. But I do know Northwestern is right on Lake Chicago. So imagine the lake. Imagine.
There's a Lake Chicago?
Lake Michigan.
Okay.
But imagine just a couple blocks. You're that close to a lake and it's 30, 40 degrees out. It's freaking cold, okay?
So the wind is gusting.
The wind is gusting.
They are in the Windy City, right?
And that's why it hence got the name, the Windy City. Anyways, back to my bet. Lock it up. Northwestern and Wisconsin over 52.5. Just go ahead, call your bookie. If you have 200, put that on it. No more than 200. And if you're not going to bet more than 20, then don't even bet. It's not waste your time. So over 52.5, Northwestern, Wisconsin. Lock it.
Okay, guys, you want a little college football lock? I'll go college football first. Okay, so I watched this Mississippi State team last week.
What the?
You like them.
I watched
them.
Were
they even on TV?
Oh,
yeah, they were.
Played LSU, and let me tell you, they were a dumpster fire. That quarterback, Fitzgerald, tried to throw the ball, and he looked like he'd never thrown the ball in his life. Every time he stepped back to throw it, dropped back to throw it, I felt like LSU intercepted it every single time. So then when I look at the spread, and A&M is traveling to Starkville, and A&M is getting 2.5 points.
What in the world? There might be injuries.
I mean, A&M, when I watched A&M on TV, they lost to Clemson by 2 or 3 points. Which tells me A&M's not a bad football team.
Mississippi State is known for their defense.
Okay, thank you for that. But they got blown out by LSU. So I am going to take the Texas A&M Aggies plus 2.5 in Starkville. Go ahead and take it to the bank. Yeah. Then we're going to jump over to the NFL.
Wait, you're going
double lock?
What
double
if they only have time to go to the bank once today?
Hey.
Well, no, do it at the same time.
Yeah, you might want to do it at the same time.
You can do 2 transactions at the bank?
Yes, yes. Okay. They'll give you a lollipop, too.
Okay. A couple weeks ago, I told you guys the Arizona Cardinals are the worst team in football.
That's correct.
And I gave you a lock of Arizona plus 4.5 at San Francisco. And Arizona won the game. And guess what? A couple weeks later, San Francisco's traveling to Arizona. A rematch. So.
Even money, too.
Yeah, it's a pick'em game. You just pick the winner. Well, what did I tell you last time? I told you Arizona was going to cover the 4.5, so it's only a few weeks later, so I'm going to tell you to take Arizona again, right? Wrong!
No, you take the Niners.
You're going to take San Francisco 49ers to beat the Arizona Cardinals. It's a pick'em game.
Beathard.
I like Beathard. I like Shanahan. The Cardinals look like crap, and I like the Niners. The Niners are playing hard. Should have beat Green Bay. They got blown out by the Rams, but who cares? The Rams beat everybody. So go ahead and take the Niners, San Francisco 49ers, and you can take that to the bank.
I got them on my 12 parlay.
All right, so we got, say yours real quick. You got Niners winning.
I got the Niners. I had a pick 'em over the Cardinals. And then I have A&M on the road at Mississippi State plus 2.5.
Eddie, yours was?
I have the Kansas City Chiefs over the Denver Broncos and minus 10.
Just say KC minus 10. That was confusing how you said that. Then I got Northwestern, Wisconsin over 52.5. You'll be good in the third quarter. Just chill the whole fourth.
And I'm excited this weekend, the biggest cocktail party, the outdoor cocktail party with Georgia.
I'm glad you said that tail on the other end of it. I didn't know what you were saying there.
It wouldn't surprise me if you were just having a...
No, Eddie, I like women. I am married. What you don't understand is people don't know you're joking.
Hey, guys, I want to tell you guys about the biggest cocktail party.
Guys, are you all coming to my cocktail party?
Georgia, Florida. I can't wait. This is it. The winner of this game is going to represent the SEC East in the...
This is big.
Yes, in it
is
the big. SEC title game. I mean, it's great.
And if you guys are in Nashville, Al Dean is having a watch party. I'm going to try and make it out there.
Are you going to be there? Are you working it?
No, I'm not working it. No. They sent me an invite, though, to come. They told me to come.
Okay. Well, so anyway, I can't wait for this game. I don't know. Georgia, they have one real test. They got blown out at LSU. So they had a bye week to, you know, lick their wounds,
and
you know,
Florida,
recover.
Does Florida have an offense? Do they not have an offense?
Exactly. Let's find out.
Chomp, chomp.
They get blown out by Vanderbilt. Then they beat Vanderbilt. Like, what is Florida? What is Georgia? We'll find out at the cocktail party.
Are you guys coming to my cocktail party?
Guys, I was being serious. I was not being serious about that. I like women. I mean, goodness. See, we joke. It's okay. Who cares?
No, in all seriousness, though, like Lunchbox loves cocktails.
Parties. And they're not allowed to call it that anymore, I thought.
I know. I understand because it encourages drinking.
Exactly. Okay, guys, enough with all these, like, changing the names
of things. Red River Rivalry. Is it the Red River Shootout? Is it a cocktail party?
Can't call
is
it a
not?
Shootout anymore. Can't call it a cock party.
Yeah. They change the names on everything.
So dumb.
Everything. What's next? They change the Super Bowl?
Yeah. You can't call it Super Bowl anymore. It's offensive. You got to call it Mini Bowl.
Huh?
I don't know.
No, you can't call it Super Bowl anymore. You got to call it
Super Cup.
You got to call it the Super Game.
Bowl. Bowl's offensive.
All right. Have a great weekend. Make some money. Let us know. Let us know if you like our locks, hate our locks. Send us your locks. We, you know, Sore Loser Show on Twitter. Hit us up. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, and use our picks. We don't just give these just because. Like, use them, make some money, and then brag to your girlfriend, your wife, how you won money on Monday, and your coworkers. Because, you know, they all come back to the same job, the same paycheck. Well, guess what? You're making a little more. This is your secret. That's why you're making more than them, driving a better car, going to a better lunch. You're not eating at your desk. You're now going out to lunch all because of these picks.
And again, don't bet big, big dollars on these. Like, just put a little money at a time, maybe do some parlays, and don't tell your spouse that you're betting like $2. They don't like hearing that. But if you hit a parlay, tell them. Make sure you let them know, look, babe, I want $200. How cool is that?
And if you do leave one of your little papers out that says Broncos plus 2, Niners minus 1, Texas plus 2. That's obvious you're betting.
Right.
So maybe keep it on your phone or something like that.
Yeah, don't print out anything. You don't need to print out anything.
You don't need a bunch of bet sheets sitting around your house so then your kid takes it to school, thinks it's his math homework, but it's his dad's betting ticket.
Right.
All right.
We all good?
We're out.
Any big plans this weekend? We going to a cocktail party?
Dude, I wish I could listen to that back because it was so funny. He did have a pause.
You will listen to it
back. He did have
a
pause, though. He goes, are you guys ready for the cocktail part?
I'm telling you. I listened back to that sex education one we did. I mean, dude, I laugh so hard at the stupid stories of your dad taking you and Forrest's dad taking you all to the lake.
He was taking us to a surprise party to tell us about sex.
I laugh so hard. And Ray goes, see that banana over there? I listened to that my wife, and she was like, that's not funny. I'm like, yes, it is. It's hilarious. All right, guys. Have a good weekend, everybody. Those are our locks. Take it to the bank and slam the door or whatever we say.
Lock it up.
Hit us up on Twitter, Sore Loser Show on Twitter. And, have a good one. That's it.